Rhea, congratulations on being a finalist. I'm curious your reaction to when you first heard the news you were a finalist.
Why did it take so long?
I love it. And so now that it has happened, how would you sort of share your thoughts?
I'm really honored that I'm a finalist with the two other gentlemen, Bill Parcells, Ty Law. I think Bill's already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I believe Ty will definitely get there one day himself.
Okay, can you take us back to the 1985 AFC Championship game against the Dolphins and what that victory meant to you guys within the locker room?
Well, having done it in Miami, a place that I believe most of us, I believe all of us on the team, had never won there before, a regular season grand game, let alone a playoff game. So having to go down there and we won the AFC Championship down there, it was really special. I think we enjoyed it a great season.
Ray, you know, for those who didn't get a chance to watch you play, you know, day in and day out, how would you describe your style of play?
I definitely preferred man-to-man. I wanted to get up in people's face. I wanted to challenge them on every play, whether it be a run or a pass, because most of the time when it was a pass, a run play, and you're right up on them, they don't block you, so I had to get aggressive with them, and I tried to do the same in pass coverage, try to force them off.
And just to follow up on that, you and Ty Law are tied for the franchise record with the 36 interceptions.
Line muted.
What has it meant to you that number has stood for as long as it have, as long as it has?
Well, realistically looking at it, Ty got hurt. And he tied it. I think it was the third or fourth game of the season or something. And the next year he wasn't with the team. So, quite frankly speaking, Ty would have broken the record if he hadn't have got injured. And to hold the record with him is an honor. And I really truly believe he's one of the better cornerbacks to play during his time.
Did you see similarities between the way he plays the game and you played it?
Yeah, a lot of them. I was aggressive at times, but just being able to lock down a particular guy and cover your side of the field, I think Ty was very capable of doing that.
Obviously, you played on some really good teams and yet some inconsistent teams. When you look at the franchise now with the consistency that they have had in the last decade or so with the Super Bowls and whatnot and the new stadium, can you imagine that these are the same Patriots that you play for?
Yeah, we had good teams. We just couldn't get past, get in that category of perennial playoff teams, but it was always something that happened. And I think one of the key things, well, a major thing, it's not cheap, you know, when Darrell Stingley was injured. In 1978, we were coming off of, you know, we missed the playoffs by one game and my rookie year in 77, and we came back and we were just loaded, and everybody was just focused, and they had Darrell get hurt that second preseason game out there at Alameda County in Oakland. Back there in 78 was really something that just hit us really hard. I think that it kind of lingered on for a couple of years because we had the talent to go and win a Super Bowl at that particular time, the 77, 78, 79 teams. But I think that was something that really kind of hit us, you know, just like right in our heart, you know, to see him like that. And he was such a leader of our team, someone that you looked up to, that worked hard every day, and he was even a coach on the field. Like, he'd beat me on a pass pattern. He'd tell me, "Hey, that's the second time I beat you on that. You can't let that happen again." You know, that's the type of person Darrell Stingley was, and it really hurt us tremendously. And I think everyone on the team still feels like that.
going back to 76 and 77, first Mike Haynes, then Tim Fox come into the league in 76 as first-round picks. The following year, you come into the league for the Patriots. I'm just wondering if you could share your thoughts about that particular group, the nucleus, that secondary that you played with, and all of you guys kind of rising in the league at the same time and coming to age at the same time, and just how talented it was as a group and how special it was to be a part of that.
You got to remember, when I came out of Texas, I really wasn't versed with playing man-to-man, even zone for that matter. We played the old traditional cover three. It was a running-type conference, the Southwest Conference, so they didn't have the intricate passing games that they had in the pros. So I actually didn't start my first year. I played behind Bobby Howard, who was an 11-year veteran in 1977 when I came up there with the Patriots. He was a technician. He was a guy that was a teacher. And they told me to follow him, to watch him, and the things that he did. And I think Mike would feel the same way, too, that Bobby Howard was a guy that you can look back on and say he helped us out tremendously with confidence, technique, and fundamentals of the game.
It would be the last one here. For those who followed you through and would be curious what you're up to now, what would you tell them? Where are you living? What are you doing now?
I lived the last 13 years or so in the suburb outside of Houston, Texas, in Katy, Texas. Right now, I am recovering from prostate surgery. I had prostate cancer that I had surgery on November the 24th. So right now, being retired, I'm basically recovering from that surgery. At this particular time, this is what I'm doing. I have a daughter that's a freshman at Howard University up in Washington, D.C. I have a 15-year-old freshman at Cinco Ranch High School here in Katy, Texas. And I have an older daughter, 28, and a 3-year-old grandson. Plus my wife.
And I hope everything is going well with your recovery.
Well, yeah. It's a process. It'll be 6 months on May 4th. A milestone that I hope things start to get better, but I'm hanging in there.
Wish you all the best with that.
But thank you. Thank you very much.